Yes, welcome back to Wednesday's Champions League show here on World Football Daily. Absolutely delighted, as we were saying before the break, to be joined today by Mr. Tom Cunder of GoalPortugal.com. I do apologise, Tom. That was disastrous of me. We've had you on the show so many times, and now I decide to mess up the intro to you. I do apologise. I tell you what.
Goals are in there anyway. As long as goals are in there, we're okay, aren't we? It's football after all.
That's all we want. Goals, goals, goals. We only got the one last night from Porto, but look, let me hand you the microphone, Tom. Take us away about Porto's just dominant performance last night against Malaga.
Yeah, that's right. When the draw was made, I think Porto were reasonably happy considering who they could have got. Of course, they finished second in their group, so they could have ended up playing against Barcelona or Manchester United or Bayern Munich, someone like that. They got Malaga, who, you know, they were quite pleased about that, although they weren't underestimating them at all. I think we all saw what Malaga did in the Champions League group stages. Very impressive. And of course, fourth in La Liga with, I think, the best defensive record in La Liga as well. So, you know, Porto were under no illusions that they were in for a tough game. But to be honest, I think it surprised everyone just how dominant Porto were. They really, like João Moutinho said at the end of the game, they really controlled it from start to finish. You know, virtually the whole game was played in the Malaga half of the field. And, you know, great performance by Porto. They've shown they've got a team to be reckoned with again this season.
Now, should we be surprised about how good this performance was? Because we saw Porto be very strong against PSG in that first encounter that they had in the group stage. And PSG, however new they may be to the Champions League, once again, no slouches with the team that they've got. Not a big surprise to see Porto playing so well then.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair enough. You know, they have been very impressive in Europe this season and, of course, in the Portuguese League, almost faultless, to be honest. In the Portuguese League and Europe, they've only lost one game, which is the return leg to PSG. And, you know, that was only a narrow defeat. So, yeah, they have been very good. But like I said, you know, Malaga also impressed. So I think that, to be honest, the Portuguese supporters and the press and the analysts here, they're saying they were quite surprised at just how dominant Porto were. Maybe a little bit surprised that Malaga seemed to be a little bit on the defensive, you know, came with a very defensive approach, although, again, we have to give credit to the way Porto pressed. But, of course, at the end of the day, it's a one-goal lead, which is, you know, I think it's always good to win the first leg 1-0 without conceding. But it is only a one-goal difference, so, of course, the second leg could be very different.
How impressed were you in the way that Porto were able to shut down Isco and Joaquin? Because these were two players that we were very worried about and thought were going to be the X factor for Malaga to get something away from home last night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's my first good look at Isco. I've read so much about him. Everyone's saying, you know, what a fantastic player he is. He looks like it's going to be a bit of a bidding war to buy him in the summer. But like you said, completely shut down, you know, completely anonymous, really. João Moutinho, again, absolutely outstanding match from him. And even without Porto's star man, James Rodriguez, who's coming back from injury, he only played the last half hour or so last night. And you could see he wasn't, you know, he's not up to speed yet. But, you know, forget Rodriguez, forget Isco. The star man last night was João Moutinho. And so I think you have to give credit to Porto for the way I think they just pressed so hard and they went forward relentlessly. Really didn't give Malaga a chance to shine in terms of their attacking.
Moutinho, though, a little fortunate to have that goal standing after a wonderful ball in from Sandro, but was offside, wasn't he, Tom?
Yeah. Can't argue with that. It was offside. I thought it was quite amusing listening to the Portuguese commentators afterwards because as you may know, in Portugal, I think it's quite similar to Spain. It's so much talk about the referee. Just after every single weekend in Portugal, you can guarantee that you know, for all the football shows which are on, if they last an hour, about 40 to 50 minutes of it, we'll be talking about the refereeing decisions. And of course, whenever Portuguese sides are on the wrong end of refereeing decisions in Europe, it's the same thing, you know, and Portuguese commentators have got this kind of bugbear saying, yeah, Portugal's a small country, it's a poor country, it hasn't got much influence in FIFA and UEFA, that's why we always get these decisions against us. So I thought it was quite amusing yesterday at the end of the game, the commentators basically just saying, yeah, it was offside, but come on, let's face it. Porto completely dominated the game and they deserved to win it.
They're kind of brushing it under the carpet suddenly and saying, ah, oh, well, it's always difficult to make a big decision like that type of thing. Got to love that.
To be fair, it was, you know, of course, you know, it's only really in the freeze frame that you can see it. And it was very, very marginal. And also, I have to agree, you know, to a certain extent with that comment that, you know, that I think there's no doubt it was the right result.
When you look at this Porto side from last night, though, the front kind of three, Varela, Martinez and Ismailov, didn't really shine. Is that a worry going into the second leg, do you think, for Porto? That however good the midfield and the back four especially was exceptional yesterday evening, there is that still that problem of the front three didn't really start on firing on all cylinders?
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment as well. I mean, if you have a look at the amount of, you know, Porto had so much domination, but if you look at the actual chances they created, you know, very, very few chances. I'm not sure if that's exactly to do with the personnel, those top three, because they all contributed very much, I think, especially Ismailov, to the pressing. You know, they were really harrying, running back and covered a lot of ground and did a lot of harrying. But it's interesting you say that, because this Porto side is not a side that, unless they're playing very weak Portuguese side in the Liga, it's not a side that actually is very free scoring or that creates lots of chances usually. They usually just create, you know, enough chances to win the game, and they have a very good percentage of putting away their chances. I mean, Jackson Martinez has been in phenomenal form this season. He's just been a magnificent buy. He scored 25 goals in 28 games before yesterday, 20 goals in the Liga. So, you know, normally, even if he just gets one or two chances a game, he scores one or two goals. And so you're right that I think Porto, you can't say they're a very prolific side. I don't think they're going to rip apart anyone, especially in Europe. But you know, they do a job, and I think it kind of exemplifies their manager, Vitor Pereira, who's quite kind of low profile and hardworking. And that's you could say that's the same about this team. You know, very hardworking team. Since Hulk got sold, no real standout star. Of course, James Rodriguez is the star, but he's just really one of a very good cohesive collective unit.
Now, this Porto side, doing it in the Champions League last night, obviously they will be hoping to be able to get something on the road against Malaga as well in the return leg. Still, can't find any separation, though, in Liga Sagres from Benfica, the arch rivals. Still unbeaten, but they both seem to slip up on the same week. How is this happening, Tom? I mean, it's like they're mirroring each other every single weekend.
Absolutely amazing, like twins. Someone sent me a tweet the other day showing a chart with a week by week results, and it's since week five, when I think Porto dropped points and Benfica didn't. Since then, so from the sixth round onwards, they've had exactly the same results all the way through. Just two draws. They drew when they met each other, and like you said, had a quite an amazing round a couple of weeks ago, because apart from that draw against each other, they've just been winning every single match. And then 2 weeks ago, Benfica went to Madeira. It's always quite a tough place to go to. Played Nacional de Madeira and drew 2-2. And a couple of hours later, Porto were at home to Olhanense, who are not having the best of seasons. Algarve side down at the bottom of the Liga. So everyone thought, this is it, at last, they're going to be separated on points. What happened? Porto went and dropped 2 points, only drew 1-1. So there you go, exactly on the same points again. This last weekend just gone, back to usual service, both of them won. And so exactly the same amount of points, 49 points at the top of the table, absolutely miles ahead of everybody else. And absolutely inseparable. It's looking more and more like that penultimate game of the season at the Stadio do Dragão. Porto against Benfica is going to be the decider.
I was going to say, I mean, is that what everybody in Portugal would like it to be? To come down to that final game of the season in the Dragão? Or second to last game.
I think
game,
so, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think from the fans' point of view, definitely. And the coaches, especially Jorge Jesus, I think the Benfica coach, I think is maybe just saying this to take the pressure off Benfica, because, of course, every game they play now, they are really under a lot of pressure because they know that it's almost guaranteed that the other side's going to win, so they have to win. And Benfica have shown some signs of tiredness last two or three weeks. Of course, they've had a very heavy schedule. They're in all four competitions still, Portuguese Cup, Portuguese League Cup, Europa League and the Liga. So they're playing literally, you know, weekend, midweek, weekend, midweek, weekend, midweek, all the time. And they've shown a little bit of tiredness. And Benfica coach Jorge Jesus has said quite a few times that he doesn't believe that the match will be decided. The title will be decided in that match between the two sides. He thinks both sides will drop points here and there along the way. But I think that's just his way of trying to take pressure off his players because, you know, everything's pointing towards really that being the decider.
It would be an absolutely thrilling finale. I mean, more than on a par for anything that we've seen in the Premier League if it comes down to that second to the last game of the season. You mentioned Benfica being in plenty of competitions, and of course they're in Europa League action tonight. That's tonight, on Thursday night, getting ahead of ourselves here, against Bayer Leverkusen. Leverkusen have caused problems for Benfica in that first game, but still they were able to come away with that 1-0 away goal. How important is that for Benfica? Are they treating the Europa League with pure sincerity right now?
Well, I'll just repeat a quote which has been widely reported in the Portuguese press today, which Jorge Jesus, the Benfica manager, said, whoever gets knocked out of Europe first will have a big advantage in the title race. And, you know, a very interesting way of looking at it. And he himself and Benfica, their president and their players, they're all insisting that the number one priority for Benfica is winning the league. Having said that, you know, European football is so important for Portuguese clubs. You know, it really showcases their players really with a view to selling them to some of the bigger leagues, and because it's such an important source of revenue for the top clubs, that you know, whatever they say, I think Porto, of course, in the Champions League, but I think even Benfica in the Europa League will try and get as far as possible. He did a little bit of rotation last week for the first leg. The result, it was an excellent result, getting a 1-0 win. Like you said, after Benfica scored on the hour mark, Bayer really came at them, and Benfica, you know, maybe a little bit fortunate to come away with a victory, but that puts them in pole position. So I'll be very surprised if they don't complete the job tomorrow here in Portugal. And so, you know, and as of course they go by round by round, I think whatever Jorge Jesus says, and even the big Benfica fans, a bit of European glory is always, you know, something not to be sniffed at. So I can't really see them taking it lightly.
So you don't get the feeling then that this is a kind of a fixture where Bayer Leverkusen, of course, going for Champions League football for next season in the Bundesliga right now, and Benfica, as you say, so close with Porto and potentially an advantage coming from whoever gets knocked out of Europe first. You don't see both these sides putting out a very makeshift reserve side for this game and kind of saying, well, if we get through, that's great, but kind of hope we don't in a way.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not from Benfica's point of view, just because they're in a strong position, and he has actually recalled, he's named the squad already and has recalled some of the big guns. Matic, who was suspended on the weekend, so he should be a little fresher. And Oscar Cardoso, who is also suspended on the weekend. So, you know, two of their top players, they're back in the squad. And so I don't think Benfica will really be taking this lightly. I think it's a bit of a smoke stream by their coach. And I'm not quite sure, maybe Leverkusen, given that they, like you said, they're going for Champions League football and they're in quite a difficult position in this game. They're really going to have to go out 100% to try and get through. Maybe they wouldn't be, you know, too devastated if they got knocked out.
no tears before bedtime if Benfica don't get us past Bayer Leverkusen. Tom, just quickly before we let you go, it's very easy to talk only about Porto and about Benfica and the stars that they have and like to sell on to the bigger clubs around Europe. But who are their other players, do you think, at the moment in Liga Sagres that have really made a name for themselves this season, looking to push on maybe away from Portugal and find a new European home somewhere else in the summer, potentially?
Yeah, well, quite a few good players around. The Passos de Ferreira, which is a very small club from the north of Portugal, they're doing amazing things, really, given their budget. Their budget for the whole season is 3.5 million euros, and their monthly wage bill is less than the wage bill of some of Benfica's and Porto's star players. And so, they've just been amazing. They're in third place. And if they stay there until the end of the season, they'll be in Champions League qualification. And Passos de Ferreira, the size of the club, I don't know, just to give listeners an idea, it's probably the same size as, say, probably someone like maybe a second division club in England. Definitely no more than that. Get average crowds of between 1 and 2,000. It'd just be amazing if they got to the Champions League. And they've got a couple of good players. They've been linked to a move to Benfica. One of them is called Vitor, creative midfielder. He's been around for quite a while, but really done well now. And also they had actually a very good left back, Antunes, who's just gone to Malaga. Played last night, of course. Played quite well, I thought, against Porto. The other player maybe to keep an eye on in Portugal now, the other players maybe are from Sporting. As usual, Sporting have got quite a good crop of young players, and they've had such a disastrous season that basically the club have decided to ditch their recent U-turn in strategy when they started buying quite a few foreign stars, and they've sold 8 of them this season, or let them go, didn't get much money for them. And they're just packing the team with their youth players. And last week, they won 3-2 away. And one player especially called Bruma, who's a 19-year-old winger, he's been linked with a move to Manchester City. He had a brilliant game, scored the opening goal, looked lively throughout, and could definitely be one player to keep an eye on.
Just quickly as well, Tom, Arturo Alvarez, the American, plays for Paços de Ferreira. How has he done in his first kind of half season in Portugal? He's moved on loan now to Hungary, I believe, as well.
Yeah, he didn't get much of a look in, to be honest, because Paços de Ferreira, they, like I said, they've had a fantastic season, and they just started off well, and the manager there, Paulo Fonseca, basically stuck with what he got. He had a very settled start in 11, and I think Artur Alvarez didn't really get much playing time, to be honest.
Didn't really fit in, unfortunately, in Portuguese football. The former FC Dallas, San Jose Earthquake and Real Salt Lake man. Tom, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show once again. We always enjoy getting into the Portuguese football side of things and exploring maybe a little further afield than just Porto and Benfica. A fantastic night for you. I'm sure you were enjoying the Porto-Malaga game yesterday. And let's hope for your sake that Porto can dash my heart and knock Malaga out of the Champions League, man.
I hope so too.
Have a very
good
afternoon.
Sorry to say.
Cheers, Tom. Thanks very much. Have a very good afternoon, okay, mate. Tom Cundert there from Portugal.net joining us here on World Football Day to talk about last night's other Champions League game. It really was called the other game last night.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews, and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.